We are thankful for all who are here. Among our number, we have several visitors, and we're thankful especially for your presence. You're mindful of the things of God, and it has caused you to come and to be with the people of God for the purpose of worship and study. It's my prayer that you've been blessed by the material that we have talked about in our Bible classes, that you have benefited from the worship that we have offered up to God, the opportunity to commune around His table, to offer prayers to Him. It's a precious thing. Well, as the songs that have been sung this morning, I would like you to turn with me, if you will, in your New Testaments to 2 Corinthians in the first chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I would like to read there the third and fourth verses of that text. That's where we'll take our lesson from this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. The Apostle Paul, who is concerned with the topic of suffering in this particular context, both his own suffering, that is the persecution that he suffered as an apostle of our Lord, as well as that being suffered by the brethren at Corinth, he says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Now, this passage of Scripture is one that is full of rich lessons and applications for us. We want to spend our time in our lesson today talking about the God of all comfort, because each of us, at some time in our lives, have a time where we are fractured, we are broken, we are despairing in our life. Now, I specifically mention that in part as I introduce the lesson. I just want to acknowledge that the image that was used is one that perhaps is open to interpretation. I was talking with Kaylee last night as we were discussing these things, and we had been talking about scary movies, and she saw that and she thought, that's kind of an eerie image. And so I want to make sure that you understand the reason it's up there. This was an image that was on a website talking about despair. And that certainly is a despairing picture, isn't it? The fractured and sad woman as she contemplates the difficulties in her life. We all reach that at some point in time in our lives where we are under duress, suffering as a result of either persecution or simply some loss in our life, whether it be the loss of a loved one, loss of our own health, perhaps financial loss and ruin, things like that that come across each and every one of our lives. One of the things about life, as indicated by the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes, is that there is a time for every purpose under heaven. And as we live our lives, we will certainly have times of happiness, joy, of contentment, but there will be times of sorrow and suffering as well. It is the lot of all men. And so this text of Scripture is something that is applicable to each and every one of us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I think that's a wonderful designation of our God. I want you to understand what is meant by the term comfort as it's used here in this particular text. It's translated from a Greek word which means to call to one's side and to render aid to an individual. So we talk about the God of comfort, the concept of comfort that is found here in Scripture does not indicate the deliverance from pain and misery. As we've indicated, there will be difficult times in each of our lives. And what the text of Scripture indicates is not that we will be freed from or able to avoid those times of difficulty. Rather, it refers to the strength and the courage that one brings to us, specifically in this context that God brings to us as we are enduring those trials and tribulations that we experience. And so when we are in the midst of such difficulties and going through such dark times in our lives, it is a wonderful thing that we can obtain comfort. It is a welcomed friend. It is a companion to those, even in the midst of their sufferings, if they belong to God. And so we do, again, note that phrase. He is the God of all comfort, and acknowledge the fact that He is indeed the source of those things. I want to notice some things this passage teaches us about comfort that we might receive as Christians. And that is indeed the first point that we want to make, is that God is the source of that comfort. So as you look at that text and look at that particular phrase, He is the Father of mercy or Father of mercies, excuse me, and the God of all comfort, we can recognize from that that He is the source of that comfort. And it can come through myriad channels. There are a number of different ways where that comfort can be received, but its source is God. Ultimately, all these channels flow from Him. Our God is truly a merciful God. He cares about His creation. He is moved with pity for His creation. And as such, He is always ready, always willing, and always able to impart His strength to us if we call upon Him. This is something that is abundantly seen both in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. There are a number of passages of Scripture, and in fact, if it is in a time in your life where you are experiencing difficulties or trials, I would encourage you to go to the book of Psalms. That entire book consists of songs of praises to God, acknowledging who He is and His nature and the help that He affords us in our lives. Let me give you a couple that are characteristic of this particular point. Psalm 25 and verse 6, the psalmist says, "Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they are from of old." We look at that and we recognize that God has always existed and will always exist, and throughout the entirety of man's existence as His creation, that God has always been there, always willing, always able, and desirous of extending to us His comfort and help as we feel times of trouble and tribulation. Another psalm in Psalm 31 and verse 7, the psalmist said, "I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered my trouble, and you have known my soul in adversities." And then he calls upon the Lord in verse 9 of that same text, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief, yes, and my soul and my body." So I think that if we look at that, especially that ninth verse of Psalm 31, we can perhaps identify with the psalmist when he said that, "O Lord, I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief. Yes, my soul and my body." And if you have lived long upon this earth, there have been times when you have felt the very same way as this sentiment expressed by the psalmist. And as we recognize and acknowledge that God is the source of comfort and that comfort can come from Him through those various channels, we want to emphasize our need to make our appeal to Him and to look to Him so that we might receive those things in times of difficulty. How can those things be obtained? Well, of course, the primary means by which we can obtain such comfort, as is obvious as you read Scripture, is through prayer to Him. There are any number of passages. Philippians chapter 4 is one of those where there is that indication that our anxieties, our cares, our tribulations, our difficulties can be laid at His feet in prayer. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." And so prayer. During difficult times in our lives, if we offer up our petitions to God, if we cast all our cares on Him, for He cares for us, we receive comfort as we do so. We also can find comfort in the promises that are found in His Word as we acknowledge our standing with Him ultimately ends with a reconciliation in eternity. We'll be in God's presence. There will be no tears, no sorrow. All will be gladness in that day. And we look forward in the eyes of faith to that occasion, that time, when we can be with Him. We're strengthened when we assemble to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we offer up our voices in praise to Him. As we sing songs of praise, it has that benefit of uplifting our spirits and causing us to be cheerful. As we acknowledge and understand that there are others of like precious faith who share the same concerns and the same motivations and the same goal as we, and that kinship as members of the family of God, we are caring for one another. And we are aware of the needs that we each have. And as one member rejoices, all members rejoice with it. If one member suffers, then all members suffer with it. We can certainly show empathy, and as Christians, we ought to show empathy to those who are struggling, who have those trials and difficulties in their life. But we understand this, that these things are available to us, and we can receive comfort as we make that appeal to God. We want to note as well that not only is God the source of comfort, but that there will be that need. And that is something that is evident in that text in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 as well. Not that you will always be in need of comfort. Again, there are times in our lives where things go well and we are happy, we are content, but there are those difficult times, and it happens to us all. That He comforts us all in our tribulation. He comforts each and every one of us. Godly people will need comfort. And I bring that up because there are some who perhaps have that misconception that all I have to do is give myself to the Lord, become a child of God, and be faithful to Him. And if I do that, then God will protect me. If my faith is strong enough, then I will not have any problems. And that's not the way it works. In fact, again, as we note our particular passage, it is stated within that context of the Apostle Paul's suffering. Now, the Apostle Paul was a faithful individual, and yet he had trials and he had troubles. He had things that he anguished over, things that caused him heartache. And so as we alluded to in the definition, it is not that we will be able to avoid those times of difficulty, but that there will be something and someone who is capable of helping us through those difficult times. I want you to look at a couple of expressions that are found in this particular text and in the general context of that second letter that he wrote about Paul himself. Notice in verse 8 and 9, he says, "We do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." And you'll notice that in the midst of the difficulties that the Apostle Paul suffered, and his concern, even for his very life, it caused him, brought him to his mind, the things of God and the comfort and help that God would afford him. And the fact that even if it was that his life ended on earth, that he would have eternal life in the presence of God. You may remember in his letter to the Philippians that he made note of that, that he didn't know what would happen to him. At the time in which he wrote that letter, he was imprisoned. And he wasn't sure whether he would be executed for his faith or if he would be able to go free. And he indicated, even in the midst of such concern, he was fairly confident that he would be released, but he had no surety of it. One of the things about appealing to Caesar is that Caesar, at a whim, could say, "You've made your appeal, you're going to die." So Paul didn't know what would happen in his life. But he said, "If I depart, it will be to be with Christ, which is far better. To remain is more needful for you." He didn't know what would happen. And yet, even in the midst of such difficulties and trials, his mind went to the comfort he received as a result of the relationship that he sustained with his God. I want you to go over to the fourth chapter. There is a beautiful passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. The description here is poetic. He says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, and yet we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. We are persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh." Always, as we contemplate even our mortality and the reality that this life will not continue on forever, that there is appointed for each man to die once, and after that the judgment, that those who are righteous in His sight have the hope of life eternal in the heavens. And there is comfort to be found in that. And the apostle was mindful of that even in the midst of his difficulties. And his difficulties, well, they were extreme. If you want to feel sorry for yourself at any particular time in your life, perhaps you should read from that list in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23 about what the Apostle Paul suffered as a result of his ministering as an apostle of our Lord. He said, are they ministers of Christ? Well, I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes, that is, whipping, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. And then he goes down in a litany. A list is given to us. He said, from the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes, minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys, often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness. In toil. In sleeplessness, often. In hunger and thirst, in fastings, often. In cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. You look at that list and you think, man, the Apostle Paul must have been despondent. Must have been despairing. He must have had a horrific life that was full of heartache and anguish. And yet we go back to that text in chapter 4 and verses 8 through 10 where he said, yes, I have had these things happen to me, but though I am hard pressed, I'm not crushed. Though I am perplexed, I do not despair. Though I am persecuted, I know that I am not forsaken. Yes, struck down, but no, not destroyed. That was the Apostle Paul's mindset and approach to even those difficulties that he suffered, that God was there and his comfort would supply what was lacking and what was needed. So Paul didn't blame God for the tribulations that he suffered. He didn't abandon God because he was suffering. Instead, he saw that God was a source of comfort in the midst of these things and help him and strengthen him through them. Now, the third point that we want to make in looking at this particular text is found there in verse 4. He comforts us in all of our tribulation. And I want you to recognize, and perhaps we get an inkling of that as we look at the life of Paul as an example, that it does not matter what the difficulty may be. It doesn't matter the degree to which we are suffering. The nature of that suffering, God is always there. I have known of some Christians, perhaps you have as well, who have left the Lord and His church during times of trouble. You ask them, where are you? Why are you not here? And their answer is, well, you know, I'm just going through a tough time right now. When things get better, then I'll come back. How sad that is. How sad that individuals think that in the difficult times of their life, those are the times when they have to go it alone or that they have to look elsewhere for comfort. Because God is always there. There is no problem that is too big for Him. You remember that text that is often quoted and often misapplied, where the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, that's a common passage that is used for those who are advocating the gospel of health and wealth. Or that I can be a success. Someone says, you know, I know that I'm physically out of shape, but if I really want to, with God's help, I can jump over that 6-foot high fence. That's not what it's talking about, is it? That statement, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who struggles me, is in that context of suffering. The Apostle Paul was in prison. He did not know what was going to happen next, but he understood that he could gain the victory in Christ Jesus. For the faithful Christian, there will never come a time in his life where God will abandon him. If you look around and God is not there, the reason that God is not there to give you the comfort that is needed is not because he has left, but because you have left him. If you turn to him and you seek him out, as you seek to draw closer to Him, He is there. And that's an important thing for us to consider and understand. God's comfort is available and sufficient for any problem we'll face. We are familiar with that 23rd Psalm and verses 4 through 6 of that Psalm. We won't read the entirety of it. It's something that most of you probably can quote from memory. The psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Isn't that such a beautiful expression? And it's not one that is only for the psalmist. It is not something that is reserved only for a few. All of those who are his can, with that same surety and that same comfort, express those words and sentiments. My cup runs over. His mercy, his goodness, his grace follows me all the days of my life, because I am his and he cares for his own. So God comforts us in all of our troubles, no matter what those troubles may be. There's a final point that I want to share with you, and it's one that is very important for us by way of application. As the text indicates there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4, that God is the God of all comfort. He says that he comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. I want you to understand the extension of this process and principle. God comforts us as we receive this comfort, and it enables us to take that comfort and share that comfort with others who are in need of it. But there is that concept of us being a conduit, and it is through us that God's comfort can indeed be shared and expressed. And so we acknowledge, again, that God allows suffering in the lives of his children. There are times when that is done actually as a means of chastening and instruction. But it is also something that equips us as we suffer, as we go through those times of difficulties. We become enabled servants so that when another suffers, as we have, we know what they've been through. We know how to handle that. We know the source from which that comfort comes, and we enable them to handle the same. As recipients of God's mercy and comfort, we're obligated to extend these same blessings to others, to make ourselves that channel through which God's comfort can flow to others. We have to do that to receive God's strength and comfort in our hour of need. If we were to do that, consider that. We receive these things from God, and yet we find another who is destitute, bereft of those things, and in need of them, and we withhold that from them. You not seek to express that. Such an individual is not worthy of receiving God's comfort. That's something that's very clearly expressed in Scripture. For example, in the parable of the unforgiving servant. Think about that in Matthew chapter 18. You'll remember that the Lord had compassion upon this servant who owed him so much that he could never repay that debt, and he forgave that debt. And then later on, we are told that that servant went and demanded of others that they repay smaller debts to him, and was not so compassionate, and in fact had them thrown into prison because they could not pay their bill. Concerning that unforgiving servant, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 32. Matthew 18, 32. His master said to him, after he had called him, he said, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you?" Brethren, we need to recognize how important it is that we be mindful of these things. And it is, I think, a point and principle that can be duly applied not only to brethren, but also to those who are in the world. I think of the Good Samaritan of Scripture. You'll remember who saw an individual who had been set upon by thieves, and they had beaten the man and left him for dead, and others had passed by and done nothing. But this Samaritan, he went to that man and he ministered to him. We certainly should be mindful of the needs that are found in the world in general. We need to be mindful of those things that we might share with compassion. Give them comfort. Give them hope. Show them the God of all comfort that they might turn to him. And perhaps they will receive that comfort. But more importantly, because they turn to him, they will receive the forgiveness of their sins and the hope of glory. wherein true comfort is found. We need to be mindful of that. But there is a special affinity that we have for one another as Christians, as brethren. And we need to be mindful of that like precious faith that we share. And we need to be mindful of our brethren in Christ and recognize that while we might be at that point in time in our lives where there is contentment, there is joy, things are going well with us, and the members of the body together have reason to rejoice with us in our lives, that there may be another there who is suffering and who has need of our comfort that we can share with him. There's a text there in 1 John chapter 3 which expresses this within that concept of love. We're told in verse 16, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whoever has this world's goods, sees his brother in need, shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and will assure our hearts before him." If you close up your heart to your brother in Christ, how can it be that the love of God abides in you? The indication, the reality that the love of God is there and present is that we don't merely say I love you, but we show I love you by helping individuals during their times of trial and tribulation. So it is important as we acknowledge and recognize that God is the God of all comfort, and that there are times when we need him to help us, to accompany us during our times of difficulties, that we have the responsibility as his children to express that same empathy, care, and concern for those who are suffering that we come into contact with, whether in the world or more especially in the body of Christ. And so I want you to contemplate these things. And as we draw our lesson to a close, we ask that question. Are you at a time in your life when things are not going as well as it could? There is difficulty. You have health problems. You have financial problems. You have discouragement in your life. The loss of a loved one. The loss of health. Do you need comfort? If so, recognize this. That God is the source of all comfort. That doesn't indicate that those things are going to go away. But it does indicate that with God's help and the help of his brethren, that you will be able to handle these things. And it will be easier for you to get through them. And not only that, but it will equip you as you get through such difficulties in your life that you might be empathetic and know how to and be mindful of and willing to help others as you have been helped by him. If you are here and you're not a child of God this day, it is that you are burdened with sin. And I think we rightly could say that this is a time in your life as you are burdened with the guilt of sin that you need the God of comfort to assist you. And he has done so. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. He extended his mercy in the form of the Son of the living God who came to this earth and died on the cross and shed his blood as a sacrifice to appease God's righteousness and wrath, that we might, through his mercy and loving kindness, be reconciled to him and be saved for eternity. When an individual repents of his sin, he confesses his faith in Christ and is baptized to have his sins washed away, that burden and guilt of sin is gone. And he rises to walk in newness of life. The amazing thing that you see in all of the examples of conversion in the New Testament is how happy they were, how much comfort they received once the sin had been washed away. You remember the eunuch in Acts the 8th chapter? Care and concern in his being as he asked Philip the evangelist, "Who is the prophet speaking of, himself or another man?" And at that point, Philip preached unto him Jesus. And as they came to water, the eunuch said, "Here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And he said, "If you believe, you may." And the eunuch said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God." Philip took him down into the water. He baptized him. They came up out of the water. The Spirit took Philip away. And what did the eunuch do? He went on his way rejoicing. And in this, perhaps more than any other thing, we recognize the comfort we receive from God, because it is in Him that we have hope. Mercy and grace sent through His Son, the gift of salvation available to every man, so that from this point on, from this point forward, though the world may throw us those curves, though we may be hard-pressed on every side, though we may be cast down, though we may be persecuted, through the eyes of faith, we can always look for the joy eternal in the heavens that will be ours because we are His. And in that, most assuredly, He is the God of comfort. And so we offer an invitation to you. If you have a need to respond to that invitation call, we ask that you consider carefully the joy that you can receive by being one of His, reconciled to God. And if you have that need, come forward now while together we stand, while we sing.